Opa! Welcome everybody to Stavi's World, 904-800-STAV. Call in, we'll solve all your problems. We're pumped, we got Todd Barry in the fucking studio. Thanks for coming, Todd.
Thank you, which one do I look at?
Whatever you want, babe.
Yeah.
Let your eyes wander. Make it harder for Eldis.
It's my rules, man.
Keep that head on a swivel. Eldis, you better not fuck that up, dude. Don't embarrass me in front of Todd.
Yeah.
We got Todd Barry, the new special, Domestic Short Hair, out on YouTube right now.
Yeah.
Go watch it, folks. Very funny. Yeah, dude, thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me, man.
I'm a big fan.
Oh, cool, man.
For years. I mean, there's so much... From so much stuff, obviously, the Dr. Katz days.
Oh, really? You're back?
We're back. I mean, me and Eldis grew up together, and okay. He had cable. You had illegal cable, didn't you?
No, we didn't have illegal.
Wow, I'm sorry.
We're by the books. Out there, yeah.
You know? Cops run in here now and arrest me. Finally, a confession. Yeah.
I'm wearing a wire. This whole I'm wearing a wire at the podcast. Even though this whole thing is being recorded.
Credibility.
Yeah, Todd takes the Mission Impossible mask off. He's a cop. He's Lieutenant Lou from the NYPD. I'm sorry to accuse you. Your parents were upstanding immigrants, happy to be in the country.
Thank you.
Didn't want to jeopardize it so they could get TNT. Didn't want to get sent shipped back to Albania for stealing Food Network for watching Emeril Lagasse. But yes, I remember being at Eldis's house, and that's how I came across a lot of comedians, was watching Dr. Katz, fully not understanding. You know when you're a little kid, and you're like, no, I get this, I'm smart, I'm like an adult. We were like, God, you know, I don't want to say how old, Todd, I don't want to bum you out. I don't want to say that we were 9 years old watching Dr. Katz.
Well, I was 10 at the time. I was the youngest guy ever, guest ever. So it's just a year, you know?
It's just a year, yeah. But yeah, dude, thank you for coming, and the special's awesome, so everybody go, it's free on YouTube, go watch that. But yeah, man, from the Dr. Katz days all the way through, and I don't know if this might be the week of Thanksgiving, so if you have anything you're thankful for that you want to tell the people here.
Well, I don't know if I'm thankful for this, but last night, one of the Jonas Brothers bought me a drink.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Do you know which one?
It was Joe Jonas.
Joe, okay.
I was at, there's this bar I go to, and I go there. It's gonna be a name drop, but yeah, with Chris Rock, I go there.
Wow, double name drop off the top.
So we're sitting there, like, it's kind of a chill, quiet bar with couches and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's these guys behind him, and they kind of were like huddling a little bit, and then they're like looking at their phone, which I realized later was to, he was showing him who I was.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
And then the manager of the bar comes over, goes with two drinks. He goes, I was like, what? Just, Joe Jonas bought you these drinks. And then I'm like, oh, that's who that is. Yeah. And then he came over, and then...
You guys yucked it up?
Yeah, I mean, I just said hi to him, thanked him for the drink.
Yeah.
And the great story that's...
Of course.
Fresh story happened last night.
That's great. You're getting it fresh. We're getting the freshest Todd Barry name drops on this podcast, folks. No stale shit. We get it right off the market. I can't keep the Jonas's straight. I don't want to shit, you know, I don't want to sully your story. Isn't he in like a horrible custody battle with the bitch from Game of Thrones for Joe Jonas? you might have made a problematic friend, Todd.
Oh,
I think he's like hiding.
Exchange information.
Yeah. I think he's like hiding her kids from her or something that. Or maybe she is. I don't fucking know. And look this up. Do some producing, Eldis, for fuck's sake.
Free drink is a free drink.
Pol Pot comes through with a fucking, do we got? In court documents obtained by People Tuesday, interim consent order is laid out for custody of the estranged couple's two daughters, Delphine and Willa. Delphine's a tough name. It's cute. For the coming weeks after being engaged in productive mediation. Okay. That's a shame. You know, I would have loved for Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner.
Yeah, there he is. I remember him from last night. That's the guy. That's
your the team guy. Joe. Todd says, fuck Sophie Turner. You heard it here first, folks. Sophie, if you're single, I will ditch Todd in a second. I will lose his number. Hit me up. What was her name? Sansa? She was Sansa? on Game of Thrones?
Was that her name?
Come on,
dude. I've never watched 1 second of Game
of Thrones. No Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I mean, not to be like, I've never watched it.
Dude. Yeah, so you're coming, you're really doubling down on your pro Joe bona fides.
Oh, yeah, man.
You're like, I don't even fucking, I've never even heard of Game of Thrones.
I'm a $18 drink. You know?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's a lot.
It's a fancy tequila drink.
No, I'm with you, bro. Was he with the other Jonases or just
him? He's with some guy who was a fan of mine, and I had this awkward thing where I was like, I don't want to be like, who are you?
Right.
I mean, he was very nice. I don't mean like,
of course,
but I don't want to be like, and find out like he's some superstar.
It'd be strange if you were really into Joe Jonas.
Yeah, yeah.
He would be. Yeah.
But this guy,
that would be.
This
yeah.
guy was like a DJ or something, but he was very complimentary and nice. He's a fan of me and
hell
whatever.
Yeah, dude. That feels nice when a guy has a much more famous friend, but you get in through the like
yeah.
the low level guy.
You yeah, know what like, I mean? That's, well, last that's night nice. I was the low level guy. With
of course, yeah, yeah. Yeah, was Chris just kind of sitting there?
What do you mean?
Was he engaged in Joe? So,
oh yeah, I think they had met previously, which is why he bought the drinks.
I see. Oh, that's beautiful. That's kind of beautiful. Then you got the arena acts together.
Yeah,
and then you got you and the DJ hanging out.
And then we're gonna bring it on the road. We'll be the side stage or something.
Yeah, you're in the tent at the festival. Yeah, well, they're at the big stage.
While you're waiting for the main show, go buy some cotton candy and check these guys out.
Oh, man. Did you ever do any, like, festival outdoor shows?
Oh, yeah,
shows?
I've done a lot of them, yeah.
Damn, this that's brutal.
One I used to do, it's called... yeah, I did this one I used to do called... Well, this is a good story. I did one in Austin called the Fun 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 Fest.
Yes.
Where I was on the stage... And they were. I was like splitting a stage with a band who was sound checking while I was doing my show. And it's one of those things like, you know, it's not. You can't get mad at the band, but you're like,
of course, come on, guys.
You just think we're. I'm not a human being.
It's great to share the stage with it, and it's also like. If I had to pick one act to not have to share the stage with a rock band, I think you're pretty high on that list.
Yeah.
I think it's like a lot of pauses, a lot of nuance. You can't read. Your timing is kind of getting shredded by a guy tuning his bass.
I get it. I'm a genius.
Yeah. Not a lot of act outs is what I'm saying, Todd.
Yeah, but it was just almost, it was just one of those things where it's like unbelievable. And then I did... Comedy Day in San Francisco.
Okay.
I don't know if they still have it, but this sounds like a thing, something you'd write into a movie, but the Blue Angels were doing a show. And you're sitting there, you're doing your comedy, and the guy that's playing is doing a flip. And you're like, if you want to look...
There's no competing with a fighter jet doing cool shit. There is not one... There's not a joke... The best joke ever written is not even half as cool as a jet.
Yeah.
Not even doing anything cool. A jet just parked. I would rather watch, be like, holy shit.
I mean, normally you don't want your show fucked up, but if like it's going to be fucked up, it might as well be an air show ahead. Yeah. But another time, I'm starting to think all these festival stories.
Yeah.
I did this Outside Lands Festival in San Francisco, and Stevie Wonder was also in the festival.
Oh, my God.
And... I was on stage, and I guess we overlapped, and you could hear people. And I was just kind of like, you should go over there. I'll be back in 6 months.
Yeah.
I can see Stevie Wonder.
I will be at a comedy club with very affordable prices.
I mean, I'm talented, but Stevie Wonder's really talented.
He's one of the best guys of all time. That's why I'm so happy that I never, I feel like that ended where they used to book comedy a lot. These festivals, and it would look awesome. Don't get me wrong, the poster looks sick.
Yeah,
because there's some awesome. You see Stevie Wonder, and then seeing your name a little underneath, fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's
but
great.
Then the actual experience, everyone I've talked to, is just brutal. I mean, all those comedy tents are brutal because you can hear the bands. It's outdoors.
I think once you readjust your,
you had fun.
Readjust your expectations.
That's true.
Like, all right, there's going to be Stevie Wonder playing the background. I don't deal with that at the Comedy Cellar. He rarely comes in there and starts playing.
They do have a piano.
But I did one in, it's called Sasquatch in Washington. It's a beautiful gorge.
The gorge is awesome.
But I remember, like, there was a band that was so loud playing, like, a rap band right near me. And I wish I had earplugs. Maybe I did have earplugs, but I was just like, it's one of those things where you're like, should I comment on this every 5 seconds?
Yeah,
but I look, then I would tell a joke and they were laughing and like, oh, they don't even notice.
Right.
Because they're younger than me, I guess. Yeah, but I was like, this is hard.
Just throwing my shit off.
But it is fun because you just, it's a different, you know, you get to go.
It's a party. It's not a
party
gig.
And you got like this tent, you know, and there's like this.
A lot of drugs.
Like, I'm not a drug guy, but
not a drug guy. All right, well, for me.
But the, that's you can have my drugs.
Thanks, man.
But they have like a hospitality tent. Yes. So you're sitting there like, you know, Jack White is eating breakfast over near you.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that to me the only thing I miss from that is, I guess you're right, if you treat it as like just an awesome, like an awesome event,
mm-hmm.
like almost like a vacation you're getting paid to go on, that's pretty good. The show is going to be the low light of the actual time. Like I did Bert had his the Fully Loaded tour, and it was cool because I mean that motherfucker is in arenas and it was like only I mean I've never been in front of 10,000 people, right? And it's awesome when you do it, but then you're like, after you do it a couple times, you're like, I love the experience of doing this. I'm glad I did it, but I do like clubs better. Like, that's how I even feel about doing a theater, where it's like, we did Indie, we did Helium, and it was like 200 seats to warm up for like, because I hadn't been on stage for like 6 months or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, clubs are fucking awesome. This is so much better.
I mean, as far as like crushing.
You feel so good. Yeah. And it's like, that's why everybody's doing it, is to just, it's at the end, at the very base, it's like, oh, this is some ego shit. Like, I love this moment of like, you know, it washing. And you make a real connection with people too. Like, you see their faces there. But it was fun as shit. Bert's tour was fucking awesome because it's like, you want to talk about any food you've ever thought of.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's awesome. The crew was great. We had a great, you know, Big J, Santino, Matty Smith was on, the Ralph Barbosa. It was just like a great, Norman was there, great hangs. And there's an activity, there is drugs, as if you're a drug guy. You probably could have gotten sucked off. I was literally too hedonistic. You know, this is not, I don't know if this is ever a problem you have. Have you ever been too full and on drugs to get pussy? That's, unfortunately, that's a running theme in my life, where it's like, that's where I'm like, damn, I'm really living like a Roman emperor's fucked up son. The one he doesn't expect. He's like, look, I'm so fat, don't assassinate me, brother. I'll never fight you for the throne. That's kind of my lifestyle on those tours, but not a bad lifestyle.
I guess the key is don't eat if you're at a festival.
Yeah, keep it light.
Maybe a soft pretzel, a little half one, a couple of bites.
Yeah, try and get a smoothie in you. No downers. Don't take too many pills. Your penis will not work.
But yeah, like the big, I did a couple of those oddball festival shows.
I remember those. That's when I would look at those and be like, when I was working at a community college testing center, and I would see those lineups, and I'm like, one day I'll do the oddball festival. And then it's like, it's cool because you see the names, but I'm sure the, like, well, I don't know, maybe you're gonna say it was awesome.
No, it was it's cool, but like I was just saying, like readjusting, like you go out there and there's like someone's throwing a beach ball around. You can't go, hey man, stop that. I'm doing my act.
Stop. This is well crafted.
Are you texting? So you kind of all that shit that at a club I would be like,
right.
Why don't you guys deal with this or whatever?
Yeah,
you kind of just, it's different. So you play, like I opened for Ricky Gervais a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
And he would insist on going, starting the show like 3 minutes late at the most.
Wow. Which, that's tough for the opener.
It's just like a thing where, like, if you waited till 8:10, there'd be 900 more people.
Yeah.
But I just played to the people who were listening. I just said, all right, this place holds 5,000. There's about 2,000 here. That's way more than I usually play for.
Of course, yeah.
So,
yeah,
like, 2,000 people left, and that's people going to pour in. And
yeah.
I'm such a pro, man.
Yeah.
I'm really inspirational.
This is great. You hear that, folks? That is maybe why he's so successful, I guess. Because every time anytime a club's like, you want to push, I'm like, cancel the show. I don't care. I don't give a fuck.
I don't want to get
paid.
Gervais
is like 3 minutes, no more.
I understand it. Like, if I had the power, I would like, I hate that people saunter in. Like,
In
movies when you see someone like, movie's gone for 10 minutes, someone just walks in. You were in the popcorn line?
Yeah.
You know, you don't think like the first 10 minutes is just nothing happening in the first.
Yeah. You don't think it's a little
that's
crucial?
Exactly.
I know. It's what, I mean, maybe if you're watching The Meg or The Meg 2, great movies, by the way. Just watch that bad boy. But it may be an action movie, but if you're a Killers of the Flower Moon, skip the snack. You're going to want to see the first 10 minutes.
I think I got a little story about that also.
Please.
Am I dominating?
I love it. This is perfect.
I walked into the stand the other day, and I walked in the dressing room, and Pauly Shore is stretched out on the couch. And I was like, okay, hi, how you doing? I'd never met him.
Yeah.
So we chatted a little bit. And then at some point, I was going to tell my old friend Tom Ryan, who's really like old, close comedy friend of mine.
Yeah.
About, guess who I met today? And then he writes to me, before I write to him, he's like, I went to the movies today. Guess who was in front of me in the popcorn line? Sting.
Oh, dude. I was like, all right. Shit on you.
All right.
Wow.
Well, this kind of kills my Pauly Shore story a little bit.
But would it have felt worse, though, if you said Pauly Shore first and then he... Bam, hit you with the Uno reverse sting. That way you can just shut the fuck about Pauly Shore. And then, in fact, lie to him, keep it for a week later, and be like, guess who I just saw, Pauly Shore.
Oh, yeah, I could have like...
You should have held on to Pauly Shore.
Just kept it in my back pocket.
For a lull in the conversation with your good friend of many years.
Oh, did I tell you I met Pauly Shore the other
day? He's a legendary, The comedy club stories you would hear about Pauly Shore were wild. Let's just say, folks, don't sit on the couch at the Virginia Beach Funny Bone. I won't go into any more detail. Let's just say Pauly got his money's worth after the show, allegedly, and from other sources. But it is funny because that guy, that's a life where you're just like, I did my thing, and I'm dining out on it for the rest of my fucking life. Yeah. And, there's, women who are like, I'm going to pretend I'm 17 again, I'm teasing my hair, and I'm going to suck off the wheeze. You know what I mean? Like, 38-year-old women that are just like, I just got divorced, and I'm going to have Pauly Shore have a snack on these stretch marks, and we're going to pretend it's 1983, and everyone's going to have a good time.
Well, when I met him, he was napping, so it's a little different.
Yeah.
I think things have changed a little
bit. Things have changed. Shout out to Pauly. Pauly, come to Stavi's World. We'd love to have you, pal. that's hilarious. I have not had any run-ins, but he texted me one time, just... out of the blue, a comedy club manager gave, because I was doing Vegas, and he was like, hey, man. And I was like, hey, what's up, Pauly Shore? And he just never got back to me.
He wrote to you? And then
I think I was, he was probably, because I guess he lives in Vegas or something.
Oh, does he? Okay.
So I was doing a Tuesday at Wise. This was not like, I'm not doing well at the time.
Yeah.
And he was just like, this was the very beginning, it's probably like 2 years ago. Before we had ever posted a crowd work clip, Eldis, shout out to the internet, took me from Wise Guys on a Tuesday to a theater. But he just wanted to, and I was pumped. I was like, this will be fun, because it's like,
right,
it's like, you know, and a great club, by the way. I like Wise Guys.
Yeah,
but Vegas is a strange town to do fucking comedy in, because everybody's like, I'd rather go watch Usher or Chris Angel. No one gives a fuck about you.
Yeah, I don't love Vegas. And I really don't love Atlantic City.
Yeah.
I know it's a controversial take on Atlantic City.
Slow down with the hot takes, Todd.
But, yeah, I never get, if I get a Vegas or I'm like, I'll take it. But yeah. I'm just never like, yeah.
Yeah, you're never pumped.
It's just depressing, man.
Oh, my God. Imagine the amount of people that have killed themselves in those cities. It's got to be through the roof.
Right.
Like, if you have to pick one city where the most... One city where the most suicides have happened in hotels, 100% it's Vegas. 100%. You go out, you get a... because you can get the sickest hotel of all time. And what do you care if you're not... you put on a credit card and kill yourself in it. If you're going to kill yourself, get the best suite at the fucking Wynn. And just, you know what I mean? Jump off the top. Jump off, get the penthouse, break the fucking windows with a $3,000 chair, and then just swan dive down. That's how I'd do it anyway.
That's the way I would do it when I'm...
yeah.
I don't know if I'd get the suite. I feel like I would pay that forward.
Okay.
Like, do you need, if you're going to kill yourself, do you need like an extra bedroom or something?
Right, right, right. How about this?
Okay.
It's a big, you want to, this like you and your friends... you know what you should do, really? Buy a bunch of, gift cards with credit cards. Or, buy your friends a bunch of shit on your credit card. Mm-hmm. And then, like I was going to say, maybe take the boys out, kind of like a bachelor party where you kill yourself. You know, instead of getting married, it's you actually kill yourself. That could be kind of nice. None of your friends know it's happening.
That'd be an interesting twist on the bachelor party. How was the bachelor party? It was a little different this time. The groom took his own life. Oh, okay.
Well, I guess not a bachelor party, because then the wife's involved. That's kind of sad. She thinks she's getting married. It turns out he's been cheating, and he has chlamydia, and he lost all their money on crypto, so he offed himself. But just, like, if I took you out on the best vacation we've ever... Me, you, are best friends. We have the best time of our lives, and then I kill myself. And I'm like, boys, don't worry. It was awesome. I wanted to do this, and I wanted to show you one last time. It's on me. You don't have to pay for a dime. You don't fucking come. I never let you touch your wallet. That would be, if all the ways for your friend to kill themselves, that's got to be the best way. He treats you to one last hurrah together.
I mean, I've never thought about this before. I mean, I've thought about killing myself a lot, but I've never thought of a way to make it really interesting. Yeah. We'll do something a little different for this.
Just a little twist on it. Everyone, look, we've all, pills, slicing your fucking arteries in a bathtub. It's hack at this point.
Do you think that your friends are going to be like, that was, you know, my friends committed suicide, but that steak we had last night.
I honestly would hope so.
That for myself.
Literally, I kind of think yes, they would. Because that's the thing, a suicide's so sad, right?
Yes.
But if you pair it with a fun vacation.
Pair with a good red wine.
Yeah, a good red wine, a Wagyu ribeye. Who's mad at that? At that point, it kind of brings you back to zero is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You have to have as fun a time for free as a suicide is sad. So that your friend, because you don't want your friends being sad. You want to bring them down to zero.
That's where you and I differ. I want my friends to be fucking. If I died, I want my friends to be devastated. I want like no laughing at the funeral. Okay. Just fucking pure crying.
That's great. Well, then what you should do is the opposite, which is like, let's say your friend is having a tough time paying his mortgage. You should be like, tomorrow we're going to the bank and I'm paying the house off for you, pal. And then you kill yourself that night. So now he's double sad because now you're gone and you were his ticket to financial freedom.
Wow. Where's this house, though? It depends on whether I can.
Well, you're not paying for it. You're dead.
Oh, I see. Oh, you like to lie to him?
That's what I'm saying. You want your friends devastated. So you make them promises instead of taking them out to a good time. So then it's like, Todd was such a good guy. You'd probably have to make it look like an accident or else they'd think, wow, Todd's a piece of shit. He knew. That would actually be a pretty good prank, though, to go out and be like, all your problems are solved, buddy.
All I need to do is sign this one pay.
Right. Or that would be great. Time it so that the pills kick in as you're signing at Wells Fargo and you're like, We got some good ideas here, Elvis. Maybe I will do that to you when I kill myself.
So you're proposing having an awesome, unforgettable weekend.
Yes.
And also doing a very
two
cruel
different
prank
things. Two different things, Eldis.
On the same
Todd
night.
Todd said he wants his friends devastated.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm saying I would have the party. Todd, I'm trying to figure out a way for him to make his friends double sad. They've lost him and this, you know... plan he
but
was
I wouldn't
do.
Want this like an anger element, right? Because then it'd be like
you'd have to hire a guy to kill
tarnish
you.
Tarnish the.
Then how about this, Todd?
The sadness.
You hire a guy to kill you. Oh my God. That way, it's so tragic, and then that guy would probably have to kill himself. You'd also want it to probably be a white guy. You don't want it that I'm thinking about socioeconomic issues in America that led a black guy to, you know, crime. Just a lot. There's a lot of, you'd have to find somebody that, make it cut and dry, maybe a hitman.
Well, I'm going to stay alive while I'm thinking about this.
Yeah. You got a couple years to figure it out.
You gave me a lot of options, a lot of ways we can go with this. I'm gonna choose life.
Choose life for now, my friend. Fuck. The other thing I wanted to ask you a couple things because I was watching the special, and you don't want to ask people about actual jokes because that's you know, go watch the thing. But there's little in the setups. There's always things I like to ask because you can glean things about people just about that stuff. So it's funny to me that you said you played French horn in middle school.
Yeah,
which is funny for a couple reasons. But number one, it's like thinking of you as a child is hilarious to me. You feel like the kind of person who just spawned
really
at this age. You know what I mean? That's been like approximately this guy in my consciousness. You know what I mean? You've kind of always been sort of this guy.
Well, you didn't know me. You weren't alive when I was a boy.
That's true. That's true.
Which you're subtly bringing up.
No. I just mean, what were you, like a low energy 7-year-old? You know what I mean? Like
I probably was a little awkward little weirdo.
Where'd you grow up? What's boy Todd like is kind of what I'm getting at.
I was born in New York, and I lived here till I was 5 in the Bronx.
Oh, sure.
Then I moved upstate till I was 8. Then my dad's company got, the entire company moved to Florida.
Oh, wow.
So I lived in South Florida for 15 years. But part of the time was in North Central Florida in Gainesville, University of Florida.
Oh, there you go.
And then I moved back here in 89. And
a gator.
Fuck yeah. I didn't, like the other day someone told me, oh, the World Series is today. Like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's how much of an artist I
am. Yeah, wow, dude. Well, baseball sucks dick, though, too. That's the other thing. It's the Diamondbacks versus the Rangers. Who gives a shit? Fuck Arizona and Texas. I think Dallas is the Rangers, right? Houston is, you don't know. What the fuck am I asking you two? You guys aren't sports guys. Interesting. Did you have to play the French horn? Was that mandatory?
No, I wasn't.
You wanted to be a musician?
I've played a number. The instrument that I got best at was drums, but still not good. Like, as far as a lot of comic drummers, I think I'm the worst of them. I just thought the French horn looked so cool.
Interesting.
But it's like...
Is that the one with, like, the swirls and shit?
Yeah. It's a beautiful instrument, and it's just one of those things where you're like... Oh, you do have to practice. Right?
Yeah. You don't get to just rip on it.
It's not just carrying it around and then I play the French horn.
Yeah.
So I guess at some point I bailed on it. I bailed on piano lessons. I played the clarinet for a few minutes, trumpet.
Wow.
I don't remember. Like, I feel like I did each of these for like 3 weeks.
Yeah. Drove your parents fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Because you're making the worst racket of all time.
Like a bad, my son's a bad trumpet player.
You played something. What did you play?
I actually played French horn in middle school, too.
Oh, two French horn brothers.
Too bad we can't like talk shop about that.
Yeah. Talk reeds.
Which brand?
Go crazy.
Which brand did you have?
I don't know the brands. I played like flute for a year in fifth grade. Then I switched to French horn for middle school.
Wow, this fucking guy. We had the same Baltimore City elementary school until fourth grade, and then he goes to the county where they all of a sudden have instruments. We didn't have a fucking instrument to speak of in Baltimore City, but you go start playing the fucking flute.
Yeah, I should have stuck with the flute. The French horn's pretty hard.
Yeah.
I think it's like a lot harder than the trumpet or like other brass instruments because the mouthpiece is so small. That's what I remember.
That's why I quit.
The mouthpiece was the bane of your existence.
I remember bringing that on the school bus.
Right.
Like, oh, this fucking thing weighs
too much.
Yeah, man.
And I would feel like it would mark you as a nerd. No disrespect to both of you. But I would, anytime I saw a kid with like a big ass like instrument, I'd be like, dork. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because
it's so rude. Children are so ruthless. You're like,
yeah,
all right,
they are.
I got this over this fucking loser. Because it's all everyone's trying to survive. So it's like, all right, if I get into an altercation with this guy, I make fun of him for lugging around his fucking oboe or whatever the fuck he's doing. I couldn't do band at all. I tried when I was like 14 to do the classic, like, you know, the classic white boy move of trying to learn the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to, like, you know, I went to Greece one summer and I found my cousin's Led Zeppelin CDs and I was like, and Black Sabbath, and I was like, this is my fucking personality now, and I'm gonna try, but I have much too fat fingers.
Man, I wish I had picked up a guitar when I was younger.
Yeah, dude.
All this comedy could be out the window. You're a fucking rock star.
Well, you tried every fucking instrument. You didn't even think of guitar?
For some reason, I was never drawn to guitar, but now looking back, I was like, man, why didn't... I wish I would... I really do wish I would have taken up guitar.
That's the one, dude.
Yeah, because, I mean, I just feel like you get a career like that, you can be like... You can be funny. You can be serious.
Sure.
You can make people cry.
And by the way...
Make people laugh.
By the way, as long as you get the instrument, you don't have to actually be funny, right?
No,
you
right.
have to be funny for a guitarist.
Yeah, like, yeah, that guy...
You know what I mean?
Like, took a little stab at it, yeah.
Yeah. Like, listen, everyone sucks John Mayer off because we'll go to the cellar and, like, riff a little bit. It's... The bar is low. You just have to not embarrass yourself. You're a fucking piece of ass who's awesome at guitar. Everyone's going to laugh at you. So that's, yeah, I mean, music really is, that's the one. Because it's also primal, I feel like. On some level, it's like, yes, have we gotten pussy we don't deserve due to comedy? Of course. But when you're playing the guitar, you could be like a shitty guitar player at a bar and get, you know, and get female attention that way. You cannot be bombing at an open mic with the TVs on and have like a girl be like,
"Ooh, I want the guy who bombed."
Yeah, yeah. But you can be a guy just barely making it through a Kiss song at like a sports bar, and they're like, "Yes." And then you get head in your fucking, in your mom's car that you drove to the gig there. Yeah, dude, I don't know. I would, you know, so you never stuck with it, huh? Would you do any?
Well, I was in bands as a drummer for a while.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I even recorded and stuff.
Oh, hell never, yeah.
But, you know, I
as watched, a youth.
Yeah, as a 20s.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Back here or in Florida?
Yeah. But, and now occasionally, like, you know this band Yola Tango by any chance?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I play with them sometimes.
Like, oh, that's sick,
like,
dude.
I'll open for them during these, like, shows at Bowery Ballroom they do. And
that's
then,
so
and
awesome.
I'll play in the encore. And
hell yeah.
So,
oh, dude, I would go crazy if I'm just a comedy fan and a Yola Tango fan and I see you hitting the picking the sticks up. I'd be losing and my shit.
It's the best way to do it because it's just like, oh, that's the comedian playing. It's, you know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But... yeah, I mean, but I watch drummers, and I just, oh, my God. It's like anti-inspirational. It's like, I don't know what's going on there, man. Fucking unbelievable. Just like, no way could I do that.
I'm not even close. So yeah. So what were the band? What style are we talking? What
kind
are we...
of garagey, yeah. Jangly.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the band names?
Oh, yeah. I I'm not that old.
Hit us with it.
The biggest band I was in was called The Chant.
The Chant.
Yeah,
sick.
It was a record you could... find some.
Oh,
places.
Fuck yeah, dude. We might have
and
to
I was
lay.
The band called Die Trying in college and Cuttlefish.
Cuttlefish. These are some good names.
I think those are the three bands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's sick though.
Yeah.
And you had rock, so you had rock star aspirations.
I did, yeah. I did. I was like, I kinda wanted to do it, yeah, but I just, you know, I didn't practice much.
Again.
It's the getting good part that I
love that, dude.
Can I gloss over the getting good part?
You took it pretty far with not being good.
Yeah.
To be in three bands, have a record.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And in college, too, that's the time to do it. Because it's like, you know what I mean? It's like everybody's kind of like.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to UMBC, University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Oh. One of the lowest level schools in the University of Maryland system. It was actually really good academically, but one of the lamest fucking places you could
go. Like fun-wise?
Oh, horrible.
What did you major in?
I majored in political science and media studies, and I dropped out with 6 credits left.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't technically drop out. They let me walk. I think I've told the story in the podcast before, but I just was already doing comedy, and in my head, I was like, I don't want to go back to summer, take summer classes. They let me walk.
So you don't have a degree?
I do not have a degree, yeah.
Ugh, I got to go.
I'm a dropout. I'm an uneducated dropout.
See you later, man.
Where'd you go?
I went to University of Florida,
oh, Florida
English
right.
degree, but I remember
it was very rigorous in Gainesville.
Actually, University of Florida is a good school.
Really?
Yeah, it is a good school.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
And the English department's good.
Point rescinded.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know you felt so strongly about...
no, but it was a good, school.
I guess I think of every like Southern football school as like no one learns anything. They all go to the games.
No, that's... Yeah. Well, I mean, for everyone who's a football player, there's a lot of people who aren't football players.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was everything there. It was like, you know, hippies, punks,
right
wingers, left wingers. And so it was kind of, it wasn't just.
Sure.
Like you could avoid the whole fraternity.
Yeah. It wasn't like Alabama, for example, or something University of Alabama.
Yeah, I mean.
Which is like such a football place.
Yeah, I mean, it was, but there are definitely people who are way into it more than I am. And that's like, I see guys like, something about sports. Like I've seen people like. In line for TSA, and like somehow they get in a conversation about some football game, and they're like 50 feet from each other, and they don't know each other. Oh, the game, I don't even know how to speak football. But they'll name the coach, and
of
like,
of course,
yeah, we go, okay, guys.
It is one of the greatest social lubricants there are, though. It's like in terms of small talk, if you know just a little about football, no elevator in America. Is horrible. You know
but
what I mean?
Man, I'll be at the table at the cellar sometimes.
Yeah.
And suddenly, like, the subject changes to football, and like everyone knows about it except me. And I'm just like, I'll see you guys in a half hour, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, the you have comics that are football comics. Then there's a big basketball community. Me and Sam Rowe had a basketball podcast for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I want him to take me to one of, like, I'd love to sit courtside at it. I've never watched a basketball game in my life.
Oh, dude, it's great.
It seems like it'd be a blast.
That's the one that you got to go to in person. It's like a basketball game is so sick. You want a Halls? You want a fresh Halls, my man?
Can you cut out some of these coughs?
Yeah, whatever you want. Eldest? Oh, sorry. That's come on, man. You had to throw him a heater? The man just told you he doesn't like sports.
Todd, can you lower your mic a little bit?
Lower it?
Yeah.
Like down here? What? Are we blocking him?
Like the long arm.
Okay.
You're good. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I'm afraid to start eating this because...
No, go crazy.
All right.
What the fuck is
it? We've eaten pizza on here before.
Really?
Right into the mics.
Yeah, it doesn't fucking matter. Get that hole, yeah. Get that holes in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hell yeah, dude. Nice. And then from fucking... And then you eventually just gave up on your music dreams and you were like... Let's start doing some mics.
Yeah, I used to. I was very always a comedy fan, and even when I was in bands, I would like take the mic and start.
Doing
banter between songs.
Yes.
But yeah, and when I started doing comedy, it was in '87. Tomorrow's my 36th year anniversary.
Holy shit! There we go.
Yeah,
give him the applause, Elvis. It's not coming through, dickhead. What? You motherfucker. I wanted some applause to make our... There we go. To make our guests feel celebrated.
That was huge.
That was great, wasn't that?
I made all 36 years worth it.
That's fucking sick, dude. Did you ever think... Because you've ended up... My favorite thing... Because, I've watched... I mean, there's a couple... Two questions I want to ask. One is about... do you ever feel responsible for the deluge of crowd work that's happened because you were the first guy I ever saw to do a crowd work special? Because I watched it. I remember watching it and being like, this is awesome. One day I want to do one of these.
I kind of weirdly, in an egotistical way, I'm wondering why people don't bring it up more.
Yeah.
Hey, Grandpa, here we are, baby. Grandpa did this in 2014. Yeah.
No, I love that special. I remember watching it and being like, whoa, this is sick. One day I want to do one of these. And then who knew that it would be like, we kind of did it by accident.
And now I almost cut out all the crowd work in my special because I just wanted to get away from that.
Totally.
But now I'm on tour with a half crowd work, half jokes tour.
Nice.
But yeah, I did. I was a real maverick.
Yeah.
I think maybe he found one person did a crowd work special before me, but I mean, definitely other comics were crowd work.
Totally.
But
you did do like the first dedicated, and it was like not an act. You really, and it was interesting the way it would happen because it was like between, it was kind of like on a tour, and it was like a little bit
seven
of
cities.
Seven cities, and it was like a little bit of flavor of each city. Mm-hmm. It was really well done.
Yeah, I do.
And it was kind of, I mean, we basically have ripped that off.
Yeah, man.
With my crowd. We do a crowd work special on the road. We did one in New York where we did 1 week in New York. And mm-hmm. it was like over 8 different shows. And it was each different venue. And we were kind of like, yeah, we should do it like Todd's. So, thank you. Thanks for letting us rip that off.
Right to my face.
Yeah. Yeah. Stealing it. What is it? Stealing is the most sincere form of flattery or whatever the fuck?
Imitation.
Imitation.
I don't think it's stealing. That's a little more poetic than stealing.
Yeah, imitation, whatever, you get it. Fuck. So thanks for that. And then the other thing I was wondering is like, did you ever did you have aspirations to act? Because I remember seeing you on that was another cool thing when you popped up on The Wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And I was I was such a big, I was really looking forward to that movie. Did we see that in theaters together?
I think we did.
I think we did too. Because I was a huge Aronofsky fan, and I was a big, the Mickey Rourke buzz
of
that
movie.
Everything was like, you know, I was like, whoa, this movie's going to be sick. And it was awesome. But then to also be a comedy fan and to see you pop up there, I was like, whoa, what the, this is fucking, and you were, I mean, it was great casting. You were great in it. And then wasn't Judah Friedland?
Judah had a little yeah. part in it as well.
Yeah. It was a cool, it was a very cool, like, holy shit.
Yeah, there weren't actually a lot of people in that movie, really.
There really weren't, no. And you, I mean, you guys were both great because you both kind of, they.
I was great. Yeah. Judah was, I'm joking. Yeah.
Well, Judah's was funny too because it was almost like he was playing like what his character on 30 Rock would actually be like. It was like kind of like a fucking dead-eyed wrestling fan that looks like shit. You know, like they kind of spruced him up in 30 Rock to be funny, but you're like, that guy in real life is at a fucking VFW, just fucking being strange at a wrestling at a shitty wrestling show, but. That must have been, were they just like a fan? They were like, oh yeah, this guy will be perfect for this role.
I somehow knew Darren. Cool. Like, we were friendly and emailed each other. I don't even remember how that started, weirdly. And then
he's friends with Joe Jonas.
Maybe? I was in this restaurant in the East Village and I walked in to eat by myself. And he was sitting with some people, looked like they were in a meeting. So I just said, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
And left, you know, I didn't go up to the table. And then I sat there and he walked by me and goes, I might have something for you.
Whoa.
And I was like, pardon the movie? And then he made this gesture of like sweeping up, like he's going to give me a janitorial job or something.
Hilarious. Yeah, yeah.
So then as like a few weeks passed, and if you've listened to a lot of my podcast appearances, I've told the story a lot.
Okay.
But you know, it bears repeating.
For the fresh, for Stavi's world.
I don't think I have people who are like, I've heard that. I've heard you on 10 different podcasts. Yeah. One, just listen to this one. It'll be fine. Yeah. So then, like, a few weeks later, I was like, I'm trying to play it cool, man. I shouldn't be like,
What about
that thing you mentioned?
Yeah.
But then I did. Yeah. I was just like, good, hey, man, just check it in. You mentioned something. And he goes, do you want to do this part? And he sent me the script. And then I said, yeah. And then he, for some reason, he didn't get the message that I wanted to do. He goes, do you want to do it? I go, yeah, I definitely want to do it. And then I found out that I had to audition for, like, the producer, I guess. So I went and went to the casting place, and it was just Darren and the producer. And I read through it once, and I think I read through it a few sentences the second time. He goes, see you on set.
That's awesome.
Like, I mean, it's not a story that... I have told a lot. I mean, I've told that story a lot, but it's not typical, is what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, totally. That's awesome though, because he clearly wanted you.
Yeah, and I guess I was doing it for the money guy. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But those guys don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But, so he was like, "Look, just." He was like, "Look, the guy, the money guy's like, well, I've never seen him. You know,
yeah, what kinda... I mean, it could be that. I don't know. I don't know exactly what happened, but I do know it wasn't those things where like I have to go home and wait and like." Do I wait a week to see if they can?
Yeah.
And it was just like right there.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. So you should, it sounds like you need to be eating alone more to get more parts.
Oh man. If eating alone got me a more acting room. Yeah. I wouldn't have time to do this.
Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah, that's fucking sick, dude. And then did you ever hang around on the days Marissa Tomei was coming in?
No,
she was out of control in that movie.
But she came into the cellar not too long ago.
Oh, wow.
And sat at the table. She's really nice. I'd met her a few times on the film festival circuit. I don't know whether guests. Or, I don't know if you've had other guests who went to the Venice Film Festival.
No. I have not.
But no, I didn't have any scenes with her. And
yeah, you were completely in different.
I barely
parts
talked
of the movie.
To Mickey Rourke. But
yeah. Still.
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh, I think I left my sweat. Oh, is this the day that Marissa's tits come out? I actually left my hat here. I'm coming to just find my hat. They're like, what are you talking about? Your scene was filmed at a completely different place. I left it with one of the craft services guys. He might have brought it. Anyway, I'm just going to hang out for the scene where her tits come out, if that's okay with you guys. She was so hot in that movie. But anyway, I think, what do you think, Elvis? You think it's time for us to help our friends here with some wisdom here?
Oh,
we got Todd, drummer, actor,
know?
What can he do? Florida, former Florida resident. Florida. He's a triple threat, folks. He's got
everything
wisdom.
You're looking for in a a human being.
Friends with Joe, good friends with Joe Jonas, enemy of Sophie Turner. He's got it all. So why don't we take some questions and solve some problems here? Eldis, play us a call here, pal. Nice, dickhead. Wow. You really fucking prepared for this one. You didn't give it a shot? Didn't think maybe I should have it downloaded ahead of time?
It literally worked before.
Okay. Here. Well, now when the show is happening, it's not working. Fucking idiot. Oh, cool. Now the backup one isn't working either. You fucking dumbass.
Hey, Stavi, and whatever beautiful guest is sitting there on the couch, or maybe guests, and that beautiful Albanian bastard as well. I'm calling in because I have a friend, and for context, I'm in high school. I have a friend, and he always is joking about wanting to kill himself. Like, it's obviously a joke because, like, he's a funny guy. Like, we're all, like, cracking jokes all the time. But it's just a little too much because it's like, you can make, like, maybe one joke about wanting to kill yourself, like, once a day, maybe. But, like, when it's, like, three or four a conversation, it's bad. So I just, like, I don't know how to approach him about this. Because, like, every time I do, I've approached him. I'm like, hey, man, are you all right? He's like, I don't actually want to kill myself. I'm just making jokes. Like, I'm just trying to be funny. And it's like, okay. But it's like, it just keeps happening. And in the past, he's opened up to me about, like, actually genuinely considering suicide. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
So I'm not, like, worried about it anymore. But the jokes have been ramping up again recently. Mm. So I just want to know, you know, maybe you've had a friend like this before, or, like, you know, I just need some advice on how I should approach him about this, maybe how I can get a look into his mind, maybe get him to go to therapy or something. I don't know.
I know.
But, yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening to me. Bye-bye.
Yeah, what do you got, Todd?
I think that, I mean, that sounds unbearable to have to deal with that. Because it's like, especially three times a day. Like, why hang out with this person this much? But I also think, like, it's a fucking serious thing. And, like, they do say people joke about it before they do. And
right.
And he has actually thought about doing it. I think you just got to say, hey, I know you're joking, or I hope you're joking, but I'm going to always take this seriously.
Yeah.
I'm going to act accordingly.
Yeah.
And you're going to get a wellness check if you keep talking to me. I don't know. I don't know the guy, whether he would respond to that. But
I would probably get a gun with one bullet in it and spin it say, do it. Do it then, motherfucker. I'm tired of hearing about this. and look, if it hits, it's Russian roulette. One out of six chance he's not going to kill himself. But you've made your point that the jokes are annoying to you. So that's kind of two schools of thought on how to deal with this. I remember this, though, because, I mean, I feel like this kid, because this kid's in high school, too, right? This feels like us in high school, Eldis, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't we talk about killing ourselves constantly? And, you know, and this is going to sound funny, but the reason was because we did not get any pussy whatsoever. And there's probably more to it than that, I know, but, like, what else is going on in your friend's life? Because we were just depressed high schoolers who were not getting pussy, and we were constantly talking about killing ourselves. Because also, here's the other thing: we weren't satisfied probably in any parts of our lives, right? Like, you know, our family situations were fucked up, and we didn't know it at the time. You know, you go to therapy and you realize what's bumming you out, and it's like, I'm trapped with my family. And I think your advice is really solid, where it's like, hey, man, these seems to be ramping up again. Like, what's going on?
It's too much, man.
Like, yeah.
At best, it's too much of the same topic.
Totally. Yes.
And it triggers me. I hate to use the word triggers. But it triggers me to fucking go, because I'm going to go home going, am I supposed to act on this?
Yeah.
Or am I supposed to go, hey, he was joking. And then he kills himself. I'm like, oh, I get.
Right.
So you got to think of it from my perspective.
right. I know you're in possibly unbearable pain right now. But you are being annoying.
Talk to me. Yeah, or let's be. Tell me what's on your mind.
No, I think so. I think that's true because, you know, he said in the past he's opened up to him for real. And I think he's probably, this is his way. Here's the thing. High school kids are not, talking about your emotions, clear communication is not a strength of a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old. So yes, the same way he's timid about the rest of his life, he's probably timid about this. And so, you know, is there resources? Like, is there a school counselor? Is there somebody, like, is there mental health stuff you can help him with? And then also try and get him to open up to you, you know, talk to him about it. Like Todd said, like, hey man, I want to take this seriously because it feels like this is ramping up and it reminds me of the time that you opened up to me. So what's up? Let's talk about this. And then like, if he's depressed, you know, you're his boy. Can you guys go have some, can you have some fun stuff? You know what I mean? Like, can you like just go? Because the thing that would make me the most depressed when I was younger was feeling like nothing was ever going to change, that I was kind of trapped in these kinds of cycles. And there's also, high school is also a pretty hopeful time too, or the end of it anyway, right? So it's like, try and get his head in the game of like, hey man, I know this, even if there's stuff that sucks, we're close to college, we're going to be out of the house soon. Like, let's make a plan for that. Like, make plans for the future, go out to some parties. I was being facetious, but also try and get him a little pussy, be a little more social in general. Like, seeing progress in your life, especially at that age, makes you feel really good, makes you feel like there's something to, you know, to kind of live for, whatever. But yeah, I think you're right to just kind of check in on him in a real way, one-on-one. That's happened to me before. I've had people in my life who they don't want to open up and say it, but sometimes if you just sit them down one-on-one or call them one-on-one and have the conversation, you'd be surprised how people will open up to you.
And also, he did say that he really meant it a few times.
Yeah, or exactly.
In the past. So it's like, it's putting this guy in a really bad position.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, you know, you're a good friend, you're a good bro.
Yeah, he does seem like a good friend.
And so just actually talk to him about this, and then like, you know, make some plans for the future. I mean, help him out.
Suicidal. So what do you do? You call a podcast. You hope that one of the 8,000 calls they get, they get selected. No.
And yeah.
This guy does seem like he sincerely cares about his
for friend. Sure. And luckily, this will be a free episode. So hopefully, you hear this. It's not free. Patreon. I'm
not good enough to charge for me.
You, hey, we'll put you on Patreon. No,
no. Where's my
careful
cup?
What you wish for. So yeah, good luck, buddy. We're rooting for you and your friend, and trust me, if it makes him feel any better, we were depressed. Me and Eldis were very depressed losers in high school once, and look at us now, running a kind of successful podcast.
Also, on the whole, I mean, you should take it seriously, but yeah, I do feel like in high school you do make a lot of suicide jokes, kind of more of an edgelord.
But
in general.
I mean, the fact
that he's like actually told him he's thought about it is a little.
Yeah, but didn't we kind of think about it too? You know what I mean? Like, I don't mean to like be flippant for real, but it's like, I do think this is a little more, like, obviously take it seriously, but I do think it is kind of common when you're a very unsatisfied, like,
I once called the suicide hotline because I just happened to glance at one of my followers on Twitter who put suicidal in their bio.
Jesus Christ.
And it just tears. That's why I'm feeling for this guy, because it's like it tears your guilt thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I call it, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but this dude said he's suicidal. I don't know him. I don't know if he's joking. I have no idea if it's a real, you know, but I feel like I'd have to at least call someone. They're like, there's nothing we can do. But then there was like
are his tweets any good?
But there was a link actually where if someone is talking about self-harm, you can click, and at least there was. But so that was heroic of me.
Yeah,
but.
Dude. Well, fuck it. We got to hear it. Yeah, give him another one. 36 years, and also he called the suicide hotline one time, and they didn't do anything to help the person. All right. Well, good luck, buddy. We feel for you. And again, it gets better for, you know, it's not just true of closeted gay people. It's also true of, like, losers in high school. It gets better, baby. Kiss with another one, Eld.
Hey, Stav. So I've been in a relationship for 5 years. It's going great. I love my boyfriend.
Nice.
So there's this guy at work. Pretty much, I work in a grocery store. I'm a manager of a department, and he is the pharmacist inside the grocery store. You know, we were friendly at first, but recently he keeps like coming over, inviting me to like his DJing events at his condo, which I've kind of been like, oh, sorry, like I have plans, you know, just trying to be nice because I see him every day. But now, like, he's like telling me like he has a private chef and that he can like get the chef to, it's a sushi chef. He's like, oh, I can like make you sushi. I can bring you sushi. What kind of sushi do you want? Do you want me to make you hibachi with filet mignon? What like you can come over, like we can have fun while like the DJing event is happening. And I was like, oh, like, no, like that's not necessary. Like I'm a simple gal. Like I'm okay with a sub. Like as long as it's like catering for an event,
that's
like
a mistake. That's
why does it matter what I want?
Pause this.
And like, I don't know, like, I'm just...
She said she's good with a sub. That's a weird way to approach this, but anyway, play the whole thing. Let's... I see where this is going. This is... First of all, who the fuck is this guy? You say pharmacist is a good job.
Yeah.
The fuck are you doing being a DJ on the side? Yeah. What a fucking weird loser. And then he's got a... But it's also not that good a job where you have a private chef.
Yeah, that's stuck out.
That's like
he hired a guy for an hour.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. And he's like, we can have fun at the DJing event. This is... And she's in a 5-year relationship. There's like, there is red flag after red. Like, even if you weren't in a relationship, this guy sounds like a fucking loser.
Bad. Yeah, sounds bad.
Horrible, horrible. Everything you're saying is atrocious. But anyway, finish the call, Eldis.
Like, as long as it's like catering for an event, like, it's, why does it matter what I want? And like, I don't know. Like, I'm just getting creeped out from him. He's like 20 years older than me. And it's just like, I don't know, like, I've already told him, like, no, I'm busy and shit, but, like, he just won't stop, so, like, I'm considering, I don't know what to do. Like, he's obviously trying to wife me, and I'm not okay with that, like, what the fuck? I told my boyfriend about it, my boyfriend's like, can I beat his ass? I'm like, no, I need my job, so, like, should I go to HR? Because he hasn't said anything out of line, but he is being kind of weird, so,
yeah.
Thanks, Stop.
I think for, he sounds like a nightmare.
Truly.
But I just feel like you just got to put it on a firm boundary. You go, just say boyfriend every sentence you can say.
Yeah.
I have a boyfriend that's, I'm going to hang out with my boyfriend.
Yeah, and it's also like there is a little bit of, she's like, oh, I don't need all that. I'm a simple, like.
Yeah, that's unnecessary to bring that up.
Exactly. It's like, it's the kind of thing where it's like, it does feel a little bit of how women are socialized to be much nicer than they should be. Because this guy is steamrolling through all your social cues, all your boundaries, everything. And so you shouldn't feel, and you hear like the little tinge of guilt even in her voice.
Yeah.
Which you shouldn't like.
He's wearing her down. Like,
exactly. Exactly. And it's like, you shouldn't feel this way. This guy is, you should be like, I mean, you know, don't, it's not, it's fucked up because he's put you in a position where if you're not the kind of person to have a firm boundary, like it's fucked up for a stranger to make you kind of work on something. But it's like, you do kind of have to be like, yeah, the boyfriend thing, or just like, hey, I'm really, you know, I'm just not interested in, I prefer if we could keep our conversations professional.
Yeah.
And like, just set that up and then note it. And then, yes, I do think ultimately going to HR is not off the table here at all.
No, I don't. I mean, I just think with HR, I think he deserves for her to go to HR.
Yeah,
but
fully.
But then she might worry, like, oh, is he going to retaliate?
Right.
Because if he loses a job and he's already not the best person, now he's broke and...
Yeah.
I don't... Yeah, I mean, I think just hitting the boundary hard and avoiding that guy's... Like, why do they have to... Why does she have to talk to the pharmacist?
I know. He's in like a completely different part of the grocery store, I think.
Yeah, because I don't understand, like, the whole thing of, like, oh, I'm simple gal. It's like, it's not about that. It's about this guy inviting you to for anything.
You don't need to engage him in terms of, like, you're just like, I'm not really into that. I'd rather not.
Or I wonder if he invited the boyfriend, too. Like,
I don't think so. I don't know.
You know, if it's something like, hey, I'm having people over, then that's one thing. But this doesn't sound like
But also, can you imagine something worse than a coworker who's not, let's say a coworker not trying to fuck you, inviting you over to his DJ event in his condo. I assume that's like the, you know, the shared space in a condo. It's like, what the fuck? What is it? Were we in college that we're going to come over at the basement of the dorm and somebody DJs and there's a hibachi chef? First of all, where's this guy living? Like, this sounds like he lives in like a halfway home for divorced men. I've never heard of a more divorced setup than, hey, we're going to DJ. I'm a 45-year-old, 50-year-old pharmacist, and I'm going to DJ. My friend's going to DJ while we rent a hibachi chef, and we're all going to try and fuck our 20 years younger than us coworkers. If you go there, what you're going to see is like 12, like, you know, men who just got on testosterone.
There's also a chance she'd show up and be the only person there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Like, it could be a whole trap.
No, it's a horrible thing, and you just have to be like, unfortunately, he's made you, with his conduct, you have to just be like, I'm not interested.
Right.
I have plans. I'm hanging out with my boyfriend that
day. Yeah, anything he asks you, are you available Thursday? Hanging out with my boyfriend.
Yeah.
How about Friday? Also hanging
getting
out with my
dinner
boyfriend.
Getting dinner with my boyfriend's parents on Friday.
Saturday. And mix it up. Now I got something I got to do on Saturday.
Yeah.
So you don't constantly bring up the... But I think bringing up the boyfriend... But yeah, it's just weird. Like, also, why is he... He must know she has a boyfriend, and he's still...
Dirty macking.
I mean...
He thinks he's got it like that.
I'd like to see her go to HR, but I also think that...
Yeah.
That could be complicated.
Yeah, I think that's probably... You know, you're probably one step... You're probably like... There's more steps before that, but that should definitely be on the table. There's like, be like, no thanks, and then try and phase him out... But don't feel the need to ever engage with this guy. Don't feel the need to ever explain yourself.
Yeah, I'd avoid him. You just physically, literally avoid him as much as you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
then, yeah, keep it in your back pocket. But you're right. It is like you want to hopefully be able to resolve these things. In a perfect world, yes, you go to HR and you're like, this guy's fucking weird. But he sounds like kind of a creep. He might be incel adjacent. He sounds like an older incel, which is a tough type of incel to be. Or maybe he's getting, you know, maybe there are, you know, dumb bitches that want to go to the condo. But make it clear you're not one of those dumb bitches. Yeah. but yeah, sorry. This guy is kind of putting you in a fucked up position. But yeah, I would say firm boundary and then keep HR in your back pocket.
Exactly.
And then your boyfriend doesn't have to beat his ass, but
no,
there's nothing wrong with your boyfriend picking you up from work one day. You know what I mean? Like,
unless
like,
you think your boyfriend's not going to be able to control himself and then beat this guy's ass.
That would be hilarious to beat him up in the fucking deli meat section. Just stuffing fucking buffalo, Sausalito turkey in his fucking nostrils and fucking him up. That's a fun place for a fight.
The wrestler.
That's true.
That could be a scene right
there. Good job, Eldis. They did have physical altercations in The Wrestler. What a callback.
Did you guys know I was in that movie?
Oh, he worked in the deli.
Oh, yeah, my bad. You got me.
It's not that
you
base.
Got me.
Come on.
I was trying to remember. There's a different movie where there is a fight in a grocery store, and I couldn't remember. I can't remember which one. Just fucking... All right, whatever.
All right.
You did it. All right, play us another one there. You're right, he did work in the deli. That's on me, folks.
Hey, Stavi. Hey, Eldis. Love the podcast. I have a problem that I think you're going to really enjoy, and that is that I was banging my roommate. I'm 32. She's 27.
Okay.
We were complete strangers when we moved in together in May of last year.
I was blown away
at how attractive this.
Listen to the glee in this fucking guy's voice. Hey, guys. You can hear his teeth smile. You can hear his lips curled up in a smile. This guy's looking like the Joker right now. Hello, guys. I fucked my roommate. Anyway, keep going.
Girl is. She's exactly my type. 5'1", super fit, red hair, very cute, and doesn't want kids.
I didn't want things to be awkward,
so I was always very respectful and wasn't putting the moves on her.
She doesn't want kids, man. This is so fucking funny. You're fucking your roommate and that comes up? Although I don't want to... Just in case, this guy also could be on the spectrum. I am getting a little bit of that vibe from him as well, so I don't want to be ableist here. But anyway, keep going.
But after 5 months of living together, we go out for a Halloween weekend... she was Sasha Brouse, which is like some anime character, and I was Forrest Gump while he was running. And we ended up making
it
on the dance floor of this bar.
Well, that's a real specific Forrest Gump.
He's not just Forrest Gump. He's running Gump. And, I mean, yeah, okay.
I was Forrest Gump when he was eating ice cream.
Yeah. I was when he was contracting AIDS from Jenny. But, okay, now maybe he is autistic. With each detail, I'm like, okay, this guy might be autistic. There's not a more on-the-spectrum hero than Forrest Gump. Anyway, keep going.
The next time we saw each other, about a week later, we went to my room and we banged, which was pretty neat. I know Stabby's World is a pro-pussy-eating podcast, and I'm happy to report that you'd be very proud of me. And after the initial banging, we ended up spending every night together, where we were banging all the time. And I'm pretty confident I was laying at least all right pipe. But after a couple weeks of doing this in December, I asked you for exclusive, and not because I have feelings for her, but because I want a raw dog to have pussy.
Oh, my
and
God.
And she says she hasn't banged anyone else, and I believe her, because we're spending every night together. But what after that conversation, we never banged.
He said, she said she wasn't banging anyone else, and I believe her, because we're spending every night
together. By the way, beautiful way for her to slither out of that one. You want to be exclusive? Well, I'm not fucking anybody else. She didn't say yes, pal. She said she wasn't fucking anyone at that time. She just fucking got your ass. But anyway, keep going.
Again. She starts avoiding me, and after a week, I just straight up ask her if we're still a thing. She says no, and that's fine. It's never, like, been super awkward or anything, and we're mature about it. But fast forward to today, 10 months later, and I'm a little bit of a dry spell. I'm an alright-looking dude and can usually get laid, but not recently. I've only been laid a couple of times since her. So my question for you is, how do I bang my roommate again? Help me, Stabby baby. You're my only hope. All right, thanks,
guys. God damn. All right, so I want to take back the stuff I said because this guy is without question 100% autistic. He's like, it's not awkward. We're very adult about it. 100% it's awkward. 100% she just changed her mind, and you're missing a social cue or two. And to try and fuck her again after she made it pretty clear she doesn't want to, and your roommates, is insane.
I don't understand, like, the whole thing. Like, well, we were able to avoid each other. Where, like, didn't go in the kitchen at the same time? Yeah. How big's this apartment? Yeah, I'd say he should. But these other two women, he said he banged.
He has banged
two other women.
Yeah, since why not them? Why aren't they the ones?
But is he bringing them home to his place when she's in the next room?
My guess is yes, because that's, you know. But who knows? I think he probably, if I had to guess, tried to fuck them again, and it was kind of like a you know, not going to happen thing. And it looks like, look. Here, what he did wrong was he slayed the golden goose. He slayed the gold. Like, she probably would have kept fucking you at least a few more times without you, but you had to immediately ask to be her boyfriend, which is, you know, and he even said it wasn't because I was it's not because I cared about her, it's because I wanted to raw dog, which is pretty abhorrent behavior.
Will you marry me? I don't want to marry you, but I'd like to raw dog you.
I'd love to go in au naturel.
He came in way too hot. I feel like he could have worked out a raw dog arrangement.
This guy blew it 10 ways to Sunday.
Also, he probably did just catch feelings, and that just is... little true. Looking back bullshit excuse to himself.
Oh yeah,
I don't care. Like,
oh dude, right. This bitch.
Like a bravado thing there.
Yeah, I don't know though, dude. Because again, not to be, but I think he really was looking. Let's just put it this way. I think he was looking at it from like a mathematical equations perspective. So I kind of
think. Go ahead.
No, please.
I was gonna say, I think it's probably best not to be banging your roommate.
100%. That's one of the most.
So maybe it's a. Just accept and move
fully
on.
For the best. And in fact, the only way I would suggest you fuck your roommate again is if you move out. And then you can try her again. Look, we've all been there. Everybody's gone through the text. Everyone's gone through the old people that used to fuck you. Everyone's replied with hard eyes to an Instagram story. By the way, Halloween, one of the top times to get back in there. You see an Instagram story with a hot costume, you're like... You crush this, and then see where it goes from there. But yeah, dude, this is a bad idea. Just try and get you're when we're pussy starved, we make crazy decisions.
And this is one of those. I mean, that could have conceivably ended really badly. And it sounds like I'm not into this anymore.
Exactly.
Accept that, leave her alone, and be happy that it didn't end
fully
in a really ugly way.
100%. Exactly. That's a great point. these are the someone has to move out 98% of the time this happens. If they people either start dating for a while, and even then at the end of that they usually have to fucking move out. So you figured out a way where you don't have to get a new apartment. So until you get a new address, don't try and fuck this woman. I don't try. First of all, it's a high level maneuver to pull it off once, and I think you lucked into it. To pull it off twice, unless you're like, well, the lease is up in 2 months. But even then, you're being kind of a dickhead. She clearly, you asked her pretty clearly, are we still a thing? She very clearly said no, and you're trying to like, you're trying to bring it up. Again, it's one thing if you haven't seen the person, and you can, you get desperate, you can make up a narrative about how she might want to fuck you, but you've seen this woman every day. You know she doesn't want to fuck you again. Just move on, pal. Keep the dry spell. This is not the solution to the dry spell. You're drinking. This is like being like, I'm really thirsty. Should I try and suck some? Should I suck the water out of some mud? That's what you're trying to do here. Don't do it. Next question, Big LD.
Hey, Sav. Hey, Eldis. I need your help. How do I ask my husband to lose weight? So he's always been a naturally thin man.
I'm sorry, I can't start again. I can't hear shit, Eldis. And put the volume up.
It's as loud as it goes. Bob, hey, Eldis. I need your help. How do I ask my husband to lose weight? So he's always been a naturally thin man. He's used to eating whatever the heck he wants.
I can't understand a word of shit, dude. Do you have the transcription?
No, I can turn the speaker up a little.
Man, how about you do a different question?
Yeah.
You're going to get out in front of the fucking speaker, fuck it up for the rest of the podcast we have to do so we can hear about this bitch who's, from what I can tell, trying to get her fat husband a little less fat.
What's up, Stavi? What's up, Eldis? What's up, the guest? So I'm married. I've been married for a while, and my high school ex also got married within like a year of me. Obviously many years after we dated. And we ran into each other a few times around our hometown, whatever. Ugh. Just recently, he called me drunk and told me that he's still in love with me.
What?
But he has 4 kids and he's married. Do I do anything? Do I tell my husband? Do I tell his wife? Do I tell anybody? What the fuck was that about?
This is a...
whatever. Anyway... would love some input from some fellas. Kind of, I think he's just a dirtbag, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's just a dirtbag, and I proceed accordingly.
I think this is a classic. Do not
engage. All right,
engage.
Love you guys. Fine.
Yeah.
Just don't fuck him. Yeah. Or tell him not interested.
Yes. By the way, this is like that last guy on steroids. Trying to fuck your old roommate is one thing. Trying to fuck the girl you dated in high school fucking 15 years later and you both have kids and are married is like the most pathetic loser move of all time.
Especially now, if you call him drunk.
Drunk. Exactly. What are you, still in high school? You can't tell a girl you're trying to fuck. It's like, Jesus, dude. This is truly pathetic behavior. This guy's a fucking loser. Now, our friend here clearly is not interested. And I would say, absolutely, it's a do not engage. But I also think I would tell your husband if I was you, just on some like, just to be very clear, I have no interest in this at all. Yeah. This is a fucked up weird thing that happened to me. I just wanted to let you know because in case it came up somehow, it's not weird. Like, I think that's fine. I don't think you have to tell his wife. Now we're getting messy. You know, she probably knows her husband is a fucking piece of shit. And he probably, you know, he probably...
I'd be curious to know how long, like, is he calling more than one? Did he just, if it's the one phone call and then he sobered up and might be like, oh, what did I do?
Yeah, there might be
then
a
you
one.
You just
yeah.
let it go away.
I might allow one phone call grace period, but if he tries to make any kind.
Yeah, I think a second time is a real problem.
But even then, it's like, part of me still feels like put yourself in her husband's shoes.
Yeah.
I'd like to know if some guy called my wife and told her he was in love with her. You're the only, I don't know, you're not married, are you, Todd?
No.
No, Eldis is the only married man on the thing. If someone, if your girl's high school boyfriend called her and drunk and said she was in love with you, you'd want to know, right?
Yeah. I think that,
yeah.
If I knew the whole picture and knew that she handled it and said,
of course, I'm not saying
shut it down, then yeah. I guess you wouldn't have to tell me, but it is, it feels good to suffer to hear, probably feel good to hear this clown is hitting on
totally.
Me.
Totally.
And I shut him down.
Exactly. I think it's actually kind of an opportunity to build trust in your relationship yeah. at the expense of this bozo who's trying to get some put, trying to like, oh my God, if what the last guy was doing was trying to drink water out of mud, this guy is trying to suck moisture out of a turd that's been dried for 10 years. I hate this guy. He's got fucking 4 kids. He's a piece of shit.
I'm glad that I was worried of where that was headed because yeah. I thought she'd be like, should I hang out with him?
Yeah.
And then she doesn't.
Thank God we have. Thank God we have good. We have good moral people here yeah. in Stavi's world. Our listeners are some of the best people in the world. Let's get another one going, Eldissimo.
Hey, what's up, Stav? Love the podcast. Love your stand-up. Huge fan. So thanks, my man. Issue is I have this roommate that I had to kick out because when rent was due, he ends up giving me $300 instead of $900. And then he tells me this about on the 5th. So it's past the grace period, so I get hit with a late fee.
Mm.
Anyways, yeah, I just tell him, hey, man, if you're going to give me this, and I got to kick you out.
Reasonable.
My yeah. issue is more of I might see this guy somewhere around town.
So?
And, you know, he's not answering my phone calls or any of my texts to get any of that money, so he still owes me that money right now.
But does he live with you?
No.
Oh.
So I'm asking, do I take the loss? Or when I do see him, should I confront him about it and tell him, like, hey, man, you need to pay me this money? The only issue why I'm like, kind of skeptical, or I'm kind of, like, thinking about taking it as a loss is because this guy carries guns with him all the time.
And you, like, was it?
I'm not sure.
You guys got guns with him all the time. Yeah, yeah.
I went up, like, it's just $300. I'll find another way to get $300.
$600 is worth being shot.
Yeah, fuck, dude.
So yeah, just give me your opinion on what you think I should do if I do run into him. I mean, hopefully by the time I run into him, he gives my money. But
he will not. There's no chance he gives you your money. That's cute. That you're
I'm confused. It's like how did the guy end up leaving the
what do you think?
The living situation?
So basically. Our friend who called in, the guy owed him, what do you say, $900
for rent? $600. His rent was $900, but he only gave $300.
Right. So his rent was $900. The guy pays him $3 of the $9. Our friend who calls in says, you got to go. The guy leaves, apparently.
Oh, okay.
But he still owes him $600. So I would, now it depends what kind of guy you are, right? Eldis, you were owed money for a long time by our former roommate, weren't you?
Yes. And I, essentially what I did over the course of like a year, maybe a year and change to this guy, was basically like cyber bully him and like text him constantly. After a while, I was like, I need this fucking money back.
Yeah.
And I was like hitting him up like every day, like twice a day. I could just like sense that, you know, it must have made him so uncomfortable every yeah. time he looked at his phone.
That's awesome.
He did eventually pay up, but it was like,
that's
it was
awesome.
A lot of work. And I was like so sticking to
what
it.
What was the how much money was this?
Probably like $800.
Oh, that's maybe. A good amount of money. Yeah, though. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Damn, dude. Good.
This guy's owed $600, right?
This guy's owed $600.
That's a lot of money. $600.
It is to me. Yeah, the cutoff is like $150. Even when I was broke, it was like if it's too much of a pain in the ass, and it's $150 or less, whatever. But $600 is a good amount of money.
Have you ever not been paid for a gig?
I've had a check bounce, and that was brutal. But shout out to, there was a local promoter who did actually get me the money after a while. So
okay.
Shout out to him. But I've had, you know, people have been like, they said it was going to be one thing, and they're like, oh, you, we didn't make as much money. I mean, early on, yes, I got fucked a couple times with like, they said it's $400. Then you get there, it's like, yeah, man, we didn't sell any tickets. It's $150. It's like, well, that's not my issue.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a famous, like, this, I didn't have a door deal. You know who I am. I'm just some fucking guy in Baltimore. You told me it was this much money. But yes, I haven't. It's been little shit like that. Overall, I've been lucky to not anything crazy. Have you been stiffed crazy?
Yeah, a few times. There's one guy. I'm almost tempted to say his name out loud, but I'm not going to. Let's do
it. Flame his ass.
I did the gig, and
no, was it him?
It was in Jersey. I'm okay. I did it in Jersey.
Block out what I said. I'll bleep out who I said.
And I did the gig, and then he's like, afterwards, it got a little weird. Like he, I think he promised this venue, like with a restaurant, that he's going to pack the place.
Right.
And then they didn't want to pay him, so then he wouldn't pay me.
Right.
But I had lawyers after him. I had
good for you.
And nothing, and still didn't. And at some point, you're getting worn out.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
yeah. Like, and at a certain point,
take the L, man.
Yeah, yeah. At a certain, especially with that lawyer. Yeah. Felt nice.
But I feel like this guy, unless he really thinks he's going to get killed, I mean, the guy might have guns, but is he going to kill you over this? I mean, the guy would be killing.
That is a good. I mean, that is a good question.
He would be killing, probably killing people every day over some little dispute.
Right,
but
right.
I feel like you should just do a real straightforward. I assume you're going to pay me back with that in your back of your mind, and just go, when are you going to pay me $600?
Yeah,
I need that
for sure.
And then you could do file small claims court. But it, you know, it just sounds like, I wonder if he had something in writing.
Yeah, true. Because that's the other thing is like. If you're a guy, like, you know, in this apartment for years, we just didn't have a lease. Like, we signed a lease once, and then our landlord never made us sign it again. And we had people, you know, we had so many different people live here at a certain point that if somebody wanted to fuck me, I had no piece of paper that said they owed us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I wonder if it's one of those situations.
I mean, it could be a casual, like,
yeah, agreement. Hey, come over, rent's $900, it's in my name kind of thing.
I mean, the fact that the guy left when he said, you got to go, is a pretty good sign. But
good sign. But it also might be a sign of this is his kind of scam, which is like, all right, he got me.
Yeah.
So I got 1 month of reduced rent.
I'd say give it a little. I mean, part of me always wants to get my money.
Yeah, of course.
The big part of me. And I expect to get paid today. But at the same time, I could just see like, am I going to make this my life?
Totally.
To chase down the... But it would feel great if he got that money.
I mean, Elders, how good did it feel when you got that money?
It was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Because
you were after it a long time.
I was after it a long time, and I was just like, well, I don't think I'm actually going to get this back, but I do just want to ruin this guy's day. Just make him, like... Just give him anxiety whenever he looks at his phone. So I'm not even saying fucked up shit, but I'd be like, hey, just following up on the blah, blah, blah.
Like, no, that would be so annoying. Yeah. Respect to you for doing that.
He was your roommate?
Yeah, he was my roommate. I felt bad. He was like a bartender. He was like maybe like a year or two younger than me. But
so what?
No, I know. But
I pay my fucking bills.
Yeah, you paid it. You were broke.
Yeah.
You had an embarrassing job at the time, too. I mean, he had a better... He probably made better money than you as a bartender.
How much did he owe you?
I think it was like $800.
That's a nice chunk of change back then, dude.
I know. But yeah, I feel like Todd is right here. Like, you know, will not getting the $600 ruin you? And, you know... Will you like? Are you just trying to get this money back because you're like seething with anger?
Well, I think
and like,
six, I mean,
you know,
it's a good amount of money.
It's a lot of money. I mean, unless you're a billionaire, $600 you could buy groceries for 2 months.
Yeah. And so I think yes, is he going to kill you? Is a good idea. You're a little too quick to write it off. I think at minimum you have to. Yes, you're like, hey man, I'm following up here. Do the eldest method of like. Fucking barrage him any way you can.
I think the message you should send is if you think that I'm just going to let this slide, then you're wrong.
I mean,
I don't want to get a lawyer. I have one ready to go. Just, you know, lie to him.
Yeah, exactly. Then, totally. Yeah.
Get a lawyer. And then just, because I don't think you should just let it slide.
No.
I think that should be the last resort.
At a minimum, he has to threaten you with violence before you start. Because you're kind of assuming he'll be violent. But, you know, he might not be, and he might be...
And I would do everything in writing.
Yeah, make sure emails, emails, texts, DMs. Hit him up. If he's ignoring your phone calls, try him a bunch of different ways. And then, like, look, if he threatens your fucking life, then maybe it's not worth it. But then you could also go to the police.
Then you got... Yeah, you thought you had it bad with owing me $600.
Yeah.
Now you're going to jail, motherfucker. I think you should just say, I'd like it by this date.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then I have to take it to another level, and I don't want to.
Right.
I don't want to go finding a lawyer.
But yeah.
I,
Can we just figure this out?
It'd be so easy to find one at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, just like firm and consistent.
But it's also
without being like angry, like almost a professional tone with him.
Yeah.
You want to keep the emotions out of it. And you just want to be like, hey, I'm not forgetting about this for my entire life. So, yeah. And if you don't want to do that, if you think $600 is not worth that, that is ultimately your prerogative. But I think that's also you might be a coward and you don't want to live the rest of your life that way.
Yeah.
So something to consider, my friend. Hit us with another one, Big LD.
Yeah, Elvis. It's Liam. I just left a voicemail like 30 minutes ago. It's kind of trash. But I've reworded it, so you just want to say.
Cool, man.
Yo, what up, Stav? It's your boy, Liam. So I've been seeing my current therapist for about 9-10 years now, and he's great, the best therapist I've ever had. He's this wonderful, old, nice Jewish man. He knows the ins and outs of my life. He's helped me get through a lot of stuff, work through a lot of different issues that I've had with my career and family and friends and such. But, you know, I feel like we've hit a wall and he hasn't been as helpful to me lately. It's not just a overnight thing. It's kind of been a couple months now, you know, kind of giving me the, oh, that's so hard, and kind of yesing me a bit instead of helping me work through issues. And yeah, you know, I think the relationship has run its course, so I'm thinking about parting ways and looking for a new therapist who can help me work on different problems and help me tackle different things I'm trying to go through. What would you recommend that I look for in a new therapist? What are some green flags? What are some red flags that you think I should keep an eye out when searching for a new therapist to help me work through my issues? All right, thanks. Keep doing your thing. Appreciate your time. Thanks. Bye.
A lot of interesting assumptions in this call.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with that is that, fine, like, if you need a dentist to do a filling, you could probably find one pretty easy. But, man, someone you're going to pour your guts out.
It's tough.
And he's invested, like, 10 years with this other guy.
Yeah.
So he's got to start over.
It's weird.
But I think, I mean, it's just a matter of feeling comfortable with the person you're talking to. Give him one second. But it, I don't even know how you find. I don't even.
Yeah. Are you a therapy guy?
Hey, it's none of your business. Yeah. 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 I've had the same therapist for like 10 years.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a couple things here. And I've had a couple different therapists. And I think, well, first of all, the assumption that it's your therapist's fault. Here's the other thing. I love therapy's been very helpful for me, right? It's helped me work on a couple specific issues really well. And I've actually taken a break. The schedule's been so crazy and I had a really busy month and I just didn't see my therapist, and then I haven't gone in a while. And to be honest with you, I'm starting to feel the effects. I think I got to get back in there. But for a while, I was just seeing my therapist once a month, or just kind of like a maintenance thing, right? Like, I don't know that necessarily I would ask you, what are the issues you want to work on? Is it possible that you and this guy, it's not that your relationship has run its course, but it's that, hey, you're at a point in your life where most of your like deep-seated issues aren't fucking up your life. Maybe you guys have done a good amount of work together already. And maybe you're in more of a maintenance phase with therapy where it's like, yeah, check in. Maybe shit doesn't happen for you week to week that you need to see him, right? Maybe you just need to fucking let it pile up a little bit, go see him once a month. Because the process of finding a therapist, like Todd said, it's tough. You got to find somebody that makes you feel comfortable, and you know, it can be difficult. And I guess I would just say, do you really feel like you need to go constantly? Do you think it's the relationship that's run its course? Or do you think that maybe, like, what are you trying to get out of another therapist? What are the things you want to work on?
Yeah, there's always those days when you have a therapy appointment, you're like, I don't know what I want to talk about.
Yeah,
I feel fine. I'll get through this, but like,
I know.
I'm just kind of throwing money out the window.
Of course. One time I had one of the best nights of my life, and I slept over at a place in the city, and I woke up beaming. I won't go into too much detail, but it was a really cool evening. And I had to go in there and be like, yeah, I just fucked two girls. I don't care about my problems. You know what I mean? Like, I don't fucking give a fuck today about therapy. That just threw a I'm just sitting here smiling for an hour, and that cost me $200 or whatever the fuck it was. And I literally took a city bike from some weird apartment in Harlem to my therapist was at the Upper West Side at the time, and I was just like, dog, this is an awesome. This is one of the best days of my life. I don't have shit to tell you.
Cancel the appointment.
Yeah, I should have canceled. I really should have canceled. It popped up on my Google Calendar, therapy in a half hour. I was like, what? I was like, fuck, I gotta go. But I also have definitely had those situations where I feel like my therapist is kind of phoning it in sometimes. Where you're just like, or you have an early morning session, you see the motherfucker kind of dozing off, and you're just like,
yeah, I had a therapist who was really good, but she would occasionally like, are you sleeping?
Yeah.
Are you fucking sleeping?
Yeah. So, you know, I would say think about it, and then even when you're in therapy, this is my personal opinion. Again, I'm not obviously you guys know this. It's crazy that people, you know, call in. I'm just some fucking dumbass. But my opinion is that it's really helped me when I go to therapy with specific issues I want to work on. So if you have something specific, bring it up to him. But if you're just going in there thinking this guy is going to like needle at you and ask you, you know, are you sad about your dad today? That's not really his job. Maybe it is a little bit when he's trying to get to know you,
I'm wondering,
but he knows you.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he should talk to this therapist about like, hey, I'm feeling like you're not into this anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Or I feel like I'm not making progress.
Because my therapist always wants feedback.
Interesting.
Like,
yeah,
she got excited when I criticized her.
Yeah, interesting. And so, yeah, I think that's something you could even discuss. And I would, my read on the situation, again, not knowing specifics, is just like, yeah, maybe dial it back a little bit. Go every 2 weeks, go once a month, whatever. You know,
I've also heard, I heard this recently that you should change your therapist every 5 years, but I don't.
I didn't know that.
I don't know who I heard that from.
Yeah, just
whether
a guy.
It's accurate or if it's just a dude. Just
said,
some guy was.
I've heard
his mouth
plenty
up.
Of stuff. So I don't know. I guess that is something to discuss with your therapist. Be like,
but I think
feel like
the
I'm
idea of maybe
lull.
Not pressuring it, like making it once a week. Just go.
Yeah,
because I'll go weeks without it.
Totally.
And then
if you feel like you need it, maybe this person who knows you is a good resource. But, you know, I guess that's really all we can tell you. Do you have shit you still want to work on? If not, you know, maybe just dial it back. Take us home with a nice one here, Eldis.
Hey, Stav. My name is Mo.
Mo.
I got a real dilemma. So this guy I work with, right, he's a very, very degenerate gambler, and he actually lost his house a few years ago for
holy
all the money
shit.
That he lost, and he has to hide it from his wife, and we're in a legal state where you can do it online, so
nice,
he
dude.
Basically just gives me his cash up front, and then I'll go deposit it, but I don't actually put the bets in the app. I'm kind of like small-time booking. And, I mean, this guy loses, like, fucking $500 a week. Like, I pay my rent, like, off this dude's, like, monthly losses. I mean, I love the guy to death. He's, like, a good friend. But I haven't told him I'm doing this.
Yeah,
and everybody in my family that knows is kind of, like, pissed at me.
Yeah.
But the way I see it, I think that the money is better off in my pocket than going to, like, FanDuel or something. So I'm just kind of at, like, this crossroads of like, you know, am I a good guy for doing this?
No.
Knowing that this guy's a fucking mush that loses every fucking bet.
We can answer that question
and like,
immediately.
I don't know. I feel kind of bad, but at the same time, I'm justifying it in my own mind. So I just want your advice to know, like, if I should keep doing this with this guy or am I kind of fucking him over too? But in my mind, I think he'll run off to another bookie because, I mean, the guy's ran through everybody in the city. He just sticks them. But obviously, I work with the guy, so he can't stick me. But I'd like to know what you think. Thanks, man. Love the podcast.
Can you give me the bullet points of what I didn't follow that completely?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
so
his friend bets.
So, okay, he's got a friend who's a complete loser, right? This guy's one of the worst gamblers of all time. His wife won't allow him to gamble anymore, so he's using our friend here who called in as the go-between to place his bets.
Right.
But the friend knows his... He knows, or the caller knows his friend is going to lose his bets, so he just never puts in any bets, and he keeps the money. And the guy thinks he's just lost the bets, but every time, every losing bet, the guy just keeps the money.
That would be called a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. Now look, here's what it would, what you should do if you're a good friend is never put in a bet and just put the money in a bank account for his fucking kids.
But what about...
You should open up a fucking college fund for his kids under his kids' names and put the money in. And listen, you want to keep the odd 20 bucks here or there for your troubles. That's... You could take a... Here's how. Here's the nice middle road. You're like a money manager for him. You take 5% of everything, but the rest goes in a fucking bank account for his children's college fund.
But what if... I mean, doesn't this guy keep track of whether he won the bet or not?
He doesn't win.
But like 0%, like even, never wins?
He's an overall loser. Most gamblers are overall losers.
I know, but occasionally you do win.
Yeah, so right? Then he gives him the money.
Oh, he does, okay.
But that's the thing. It's like he loses more. Even if you're losing, it's 60%.
What, does he have the money to give him if he's...
Yeah, he has.
If he doesn't bet it to
begin
with?
Aren't some bets like, doesn't it depend on the odds or something? Is this guy playing some crazy...
Yeah, I mean, listen, if this guy nails some crazy parlay... Some fucking 12-leg parlay, and it's you bet $100 to win 40 grand, the guy's probably fucked then. But he's also, he is, now to his credit, he is gambling. This guy's basically gambling. So I guess the real question here is, you want to know if you're a good guy or not? If this guy won a $40,000 bet, would you give him the money? If the answer is no, then you're a piece of shit. And I think you know in your heart you're a piece of shit for this. So... My advice is, I'm not kidding at all, open an account in his child's name with the money and keep 5% if you want to. That's the middle ground here. Now, if he wins, you're fucked, but he's not going to win. He is a mush. So
I don't know what to advise this guy because he is stealing his friend's money.
He's purely stealing. And I sort of know what he's saying because if he just gave him the money, if at the end of the year he gave him the money back, he's like, here's $10,000 that you bet with me, right? That you thought you lost. Here's $10,000. The guy is immediately gambling the money, right? So I kind of see what he's saying.
Yeah, but there's...
But at the same time, that's why I would say, literally, I'm not even kidding. This is my advice. Open a fucking account in his child's name. Because that's who's getting fucked here. It's his children and his wife. Open it in his wife's name, whatever, and keep 5% as a broker's fee. But yeah, you are, just to be very clear, you are stealing from him. You are doing something immoral. Your friends are right to be pissed at you. unless you were doing something kind of good for him, you're just stealing. And then you would be being a good friend, but you know, this is insane. I mean, it's respect on some level to you. But here's the other thing. If you want to do this, become a fucking bookie. You're really going to be a bookie, be a bookie. But he knows... You don't want to take on the risk of what being a bookie is, because most guys aren't going to give you the money this easy. You're going to have to get in business with somebody, or you yourself are going to start having to fuck people up. He's just giving you the ability to just like freely steal money from him because he's a fucking idiot. But it's your friend it is fucked up. So that's our moral and ethical ruling. And what I would tell you to do is to flip your karma from now on, deposit it in a bank account for his child or his wife or whoever the fuck. But it can't be him. All right, that was pretty fun. I mean, I respect this guy for being like, I see a way to make money. I do kind of see where you're coming from, but ultimately you're being a dickhead. All right. Well, listen, that's going to do it for us. Todd, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
This was so fun.
Yeah, this was really fun.
Super fun. Go watch the special. And by the time this comes out, this will probably come out in a few weeks. I think my announcement for my special should be out already. So soon, in December 5th, I believe, my special will be coming out. Watch out for that on the big N, on the N word. It's streaming there. And yeah. Well, that's going to do it for us, folks. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Yeah, man. That was fun. Yeah.